I tell you, we have a Seattle World Cup matchup inspired Bad Choice Friday, representing the country of Iran. That would be A Flock of Seagulls, the tune Iran.
Ah.
Taking on the country that's representing Egypt, that would be Steve Martin and King Tut. Mike, how was the vote?
It was insanely close.
Uh-huh.
We're going over to the Twitter on this one over there at Men's Room Live on X, I should say. It's not Twitter anymore, it's X. With a split of 51-49, the winner will be witnessing A Flock of Seagulls on A Bad Choice.
Nice. Now for all TV news all the time, it is time for TV Time with T.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
All right, I think everybody knows I enjoy a little F1. Mm-hmm. But as I've watched more racing, I've gotten into a lot of different kind of racing, one of that being NASCAR.
All right.
Right? So tomorrow, Saturday, up in Monroe at the Evergreen Speedway.
I'm familiar.
We go up there for the fair.
Yes.
I've been to the speed. Oh, you're familiar. So I dumped you there.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. You know what? Hey, Rubin's racing. So Kevin Harvick, one of the most accomplished NASCAR drivers of all time. He has a great show on Fox now, Speed, with him in Buxton. Anyhow, he's up there racing this weekend with his son up in Monroe, Evergreen State Fairway, Speedway. So go up there, see him. But we had a chance to talk with him, and actually, it was a great conversation.
Kevin Harvick, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Pleasure to have you on the program. Are you interviewing us for your happy hour, or are we interviewing you?
Or we could do both.
We can do it either way.
Okay. Would you have any questions for us before we start?
Well, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you're as much of a broadcaster as we are.
Well, sometimes. I just fake it till I make it.
Okay. You know, it's amazing because a lot of you guys, you know, a lot of athletes become broadcasters. Us broadcasters never asked to become athletes. It's just one of those things.
that's the way the cookie crumbles, right?
That's right.
How long have you been in the broadcasting game? Because you kind of, as they say, semi-retired in what, 2023?
I retired from cup racing and having a firm schedule in 2023. So from that point on, I started the broadcasting in 2024, so I've done I've done 3 years.
So were you inspired to be a broadcaster the time that you were on the Tony Danza show? Is that part of that?
Yeah, well, I honestly, it must not have been because I don't even remember being on the Tony Danza show, but we've done so many of those through the years that they all kind of run together.
Do you remember David Letterman?
Kevin, a lot of us don't even remember Tony Danza had a show.
I know. Yeah. Do you remember Late Night with David Letterman?
I do. Okay. I do. Yes. Yeah, that was good.
Regis and Kelly. Remember that one?
I remember that one. Yeah, okay. That one led to an infamous pie in the face to Denny Hamlin after he, I think he had a little whipped cream from whatever was happening on his hand and smacked it on the side of my head. So the next day he wound up with a pie in his face at the racetrack after qualifying. So I definitely remember that one, at least one of the few that we did on that show.
Do you remember doing MTV Cribs?
I do. Well, yeah, I remember doing Cribs.
So okay. Far, Tony Danza is getting the worst.
The only one you can't remember is Tony Danza.
Yeah, Tony Danza has definitely fallen down the list because I don't remember that one.
Okay.
It definitely was not impactful.
Okay. Okay. I mean, again, I barely remember.
Who's the boss, Ted? Come on.
Wait, I remember that show. I remember Taxi.
Yeah, I forgot that he had a talk show.
Kevin, now we're showing our age.
That's a fact.
Yes, we are. Speaking of our age, you have I also have a 14-year-old son, but mine is not nearly as accomplished as yours. So your son Keelan, he's racing now, correct?
He is. Yeah, Keelan, he's actually COVID's to blame for Keelan's racing. So he started during COVID when he got bored sitting at home on his iRacing simulator. And really since that point, we've raced go-karts, we've raced legend cars, and now into the late models. So you know, that's been fun to be a part of that process and be able to race with him and have a good time. But I can tell you this, whether he's an accomplished race car driver or doing things that other kids don't do, when he's at home, he is still the bonehead, dumbass.
Of course he is.
And yeah. It really pisses me off. Well, and I'm sure you can relate to that, because I'm not sure that a 14-year-old boy actually has a brain while he's at home.
They don't really. Actually, I was seeing my son this morning. He was grumpy, got out of bed just to lay down on the sofa and go to sleep. And I'm like, you got to get out of bed to go back to sleep. Okay, that's where we're at. But like I said, he does not race cars. But that said, my thought was, like, if I'm a NASCAR driver and you have a 14-year-old kid, every 14-year-old kid wants to get behind the wheel and just put the pedal down. I mean, was there any question that your son was going to get into racing? Because every 14-year-old kid wants to drive fast. It's like, yeah, but my dad is Kevin Harvick, man. There's no question.
Yeah, here's the interesting part. I think his mom and I both were anti-racing. I just had this conversation. I can't remember who with
Tony Danza.
It was not Tony Danza. But I think that I had been in the grind for so many years, and you were so anti-racing because you were just like, man, I can't wait till this is over and I can just live a normal life and do all the things that, you know, don't come with being told that you got to go to this race and do this appearance and, you know, worry about how fast your car is running and all the things that come with cup racing. And COVID happened. Keelan decided that he wanted to race. We started going to the racetracks, and I'm looking at these parents and all these young kids having the time of their life. And I'm like, I totally forgot why I even like to race. And
sure.
It's because I love to race, and I love being around the people, and I loved all the things that came with being at the racetrack. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, yeah, going to the racetrack is actually pretty fun. And I actually, it probably bought me a few more years of my career before I retired. And that's really what, you know, COVID is really what helped reinvigorate me on what I thought about my job and realized why I got into racing and all the things that weren't the work part of it. You realize that you had this passion for racing, which is why we still do what we do. And so Keelan racing helped me realize, well, going to late model track and racing with him, A, would be pretty cool as dad, and, you know, the experience of everything. And B, I can go to the racetrack and finish last now, and nobody gives a crap about how fast my car ran.
Well, I was going to say, too, like I'm an F1 fan, right? Like I like NASCAR as well, but like one of the best drivers in the world right now is a 19-year-old kid who's driving F1 cars. Like, is it hard to keep your son grounded when you see what Kimmy's doing?
I think it's different, right? Like it's just such a different thought process as to how you think about it from a 19-year-old kid to a 13-year-old kid, because when they get into the middle of those, you just don't know who they're going to be. And we have a management company and manage a lot of drivers. And there is not one of them that are the same. There is not one that's personal life, financials, success. Nothing is the same. And all these kids and so many parents look at the scenarios and they're like, well, I want to do it like you, or I want to do it like Kimmy Antonelli. Well, those are, they're just, you don't know who they are. You don't know how mature they are. You don't know how old they are need to be to take on all the things that they need. So it's a kind of a touch and go because of what we just talked about, right? Like at home, they're still 14-year-old
kids. But one thing they all have in common is they're starting to like girls, I would have to assume.
Yeah. And sometimes those home habits fall over into the weekend habits, and you're like, man, you can't go from the bed to the couch and go get in the race car. And so, you know, there's a lot of things in between, you know, where those teenagers wind up, because, you know, you look at Corey Heim, wins his first cup race. I think he's 22 or 23. You look at him and he says all the right things, very mature, very prepared, and doing a good job, and wins his first cup race in his 13th start last week in San Diego. So, and then you look at Connor Zilich, who was supposed to be the next greatest thing, to come into the Cup Series, and he's fighting for last in the points. So you just, there's so many things that it's hard to compare all those kids, but they still pay attention to, well, Kimmy's doing it and Connor's doing it. But they're, to do it right, you got to know where they are mentally to be able to handle it all.
Kevin Harvick, we go to the Family Fun Center, the outdoor place. They got a go-kart track. Are you kicking everyone's ass?
I'm not as brave as I used to be, so usually I get run over by all the kids, and then I'm like, all right, I don't want to have to deal with my back and my neck being sore for the next 2 months and go to the chiropractor and figure out how I'm going to get out of this mess. And they can run into each other head on, slam into each other, and they're fine walking out of the place and take me 2 months to heal. So it's like I told Keelan a couple of weeks ago when we were in Idaho. I said, well, I had an extra day to practice, an extra day to prepare, and all of a sudden I kicked your ass. And it was fairly easy, to be perfectly honest with you, because I get on him a lot about being prepared and doing the things that you need, and we have a pretty structured routine that we expect him to go to. And he says, well, what are you doing this week? I'm like, well, I'm not doing anything. I'm here for fun, and I'm not preparing at all. Yeah. And I am not going to apologize for it, because I did it for 30 years. So what I tell you is much different than what I'm going to do, so don't set your example off of me, because I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I'm telling my kid not to drink as I crack a beer. So I'm curious, man, do you clench your ass when you watch your kid race?
I'm glad I'm on the racetrack with him, because it's less stressful. Standing there watching and not having something else to do is definitely stressful, because you know they'll try things that I wouldn't try, and you know they'll be in situations where you're like, oh, that looks bad, and you know it turns out fine, but it is definitely way more stressful to watch.
I freak out when I see my kid pull a wheelie in the driveway on his bike. Dude, I get worked up.
You guys ever shake and bake, you know, tandem up a little bit, kind of try to help each other out?
Not really. I think it's actually more competitive. Just because, you know, he knows that he wants to beat me. And I, you know, I like beating him because it's easier to prove a point to him. So it actually has become more competitive. It actually has become much more competitive than I thought it would be. I hear a lot of people are like, oh, he's just out there trying to help his kid. Actually, the first race I won this year at Tucson, he roughed me up a couple times in the middle of the race, and then I passed him for the lead at the end, and he jacked me sideways. I'm like, today's not the day. And I punted him out of the way and went on to win the race. And people are like, man, you were pretty rough on him. I'm like, hey. If I don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. So you got to teach. Sometimes you got to teach them the lessons on the fly.
Okay, Kevin, I got to ask you, your show with Buxton, like the popularity, like to me, NASCAR got kind of not super regional, but kind of it was massive in the South again. Do you think people like me that got into F1 and then see you with Buxton, like the way you guys talk about both sports, like I was fired up to watch more NASCAR. Like, do you think you're getting those people back over to get NASCAR more of a national audience again? Not that it's not.
Yeah, well, look, I think there's a number of things that are happening. Like, when you look at the San Diego race last week, and awesome. You look at, it was awesome, right? Like, people loved it. And so 60% good. Of the fans sitting in the grandstands were first-time NASCAR attendees.
Wow.
And that's the type of stuff that you need, right? Like, you can't just, we have to go grind around the Southeast and the traditional racetracks that we go to. But racing on the in Coronado on the naval base and all the things that we were able to do last week, massive impact to the sport, which is exactly what F1 has been doing. If you really look at it, street racing, Las Vegas, going to COTA, and coming to America three times and going to Canada, you know they've really tried to mix things up from a schedule standpoint. NASCAR has started to do the same thing over the last few years, so. I can't take any credit for the speed show. Eric Shanks, our boss at Fox, kind of came up with that concept. Everybody used to love speed, right? Like when I was racing, I that's what I watched every week because it covered all the different racing aspects. And Will and I have such different backgrounds. You know, he's open wheel, F1, IndyCar, loves rally racing and all the things that come with international motorsports. And for me, I've done NASCAR and you know all the things that I've done, but I always watch the F1 races and the IndyCar races and like motorsports and will follow things that are unique, and that's really what we used to do with Dave Despain and Wind Tunnel, and that's really was the concept of speed and bringing Will and I together, and it's actually been really fun because that open wheel mentality is much different than the NASCAR mentality. But we have a common ground because we both love racing, and his opinion, and I can make fun of him for, you know, picking a driver of the week that doesn't win the race doesn't make sense to me. He'll make fun of me because I pick the NASCAR guy every week because that's who I root for. I've picked a couple different guys, but we see it from such different aspect that it makes it fun to sit on the set and have those conversations with him. And that's really what we want, because in the end, we all want motorsports to be big. And if motorsports is bigger across the world, then NASCAR is going to be bigger. F1 is going to be bigger. And we can tie it all together for hardcore race fans, which is what we on the NASCAR side have lost touch with a little bit over the last decade.
Now, say we put you and Will, you're both in a Toyota Prius. Who's winning the race? You got the same car. We're putting you on the same track.
I don't think I'm fairly certain Will's not a very good driver.
I was going to say, Kevin's winning that every day of the week.
Yeah. Kevin, are you?
But Will can announce it.
Right. Kevin, are you still living in Charlotte?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you enjoy watching Carolina win the Cup? Because it says that you're a Flyer fan.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure where that bio came from, but I was a Flyers fan. I was good friends with Jeff Carter. So I was a Flyers fan until Jeff Carter became part of the LA Kings. And so then I became a Kings fan, but I didn't really know anything about hockey. I grew up in Bakersfield, California, so we had the Bakersfield Condors, but that was about it.
The Condors.
Yeah. And so I didn't know a lot about hockey. I became friends with Jeff Carter, and we started following him around through his different teams. And he was part of the Flyers, so that was the first hockey team that I actually rooted for because he was on the team. But he switched a couple teams, and we just switched around with him. But I love playoff hockey. There's nothing better than playoff hockey.
Oh God,
yeah. And we actually own part of the Charlotte Checkers now, so. I guess we do like hockey.
Ooh, Checkers.
So, I know, that makes me think of French fries.
Yeah, I know, that was my first thought.
Free fries for everybody. Evergreen Speedway, this Saturday prediction, you or your son taking this?
I'm probably going to beat him. Yeah.
Well, you've won. How many times have you won there? Four? Three or four?
At Evergreen?
Yeah.
I ran, the last time I had been to Evergreen was in the late 90s before we went there last year. Not much has changed. And, I think that's great for a racetrack. But it was definitely a little bit. I was at the beginning of my late model resurgence, and he kind of took advantage of me last year. But since then, I'm a little more in tune with what's going on. So it's, look, I hope he's competitive. I think we got 42 cars on the entry list. And Doug Hobbs and that whole group up there have done an absolutely phenomenal job. They were really the ringleader of getting the Cars Tour, which we started on the East Coast with myself and Dale Jr., Jeff Burton, and Justin Marks, and owning that tour. And then we took it to the Southwest on the West Coast. And then Doug Hobbs was really instrumental in helping us put together the Northwest Cars Tour Northwest to get all the tracks on board. And we have a ton of competitors, as you see from the entry list, that have the enthusiasm to show up to the racetrack and compete, and with a structured environment and structured tour like it used to be when I was a kid. Because that's really what's happened to West Coast racing, is it kind of got disorganized, like it has in so many other places. But if I didn't have those regional tours when I was a kid, I would have never made it to the national tours. And so we're trying to put all that back together so that, the Northwest and Southwest, East Coast, can compete with each other like we used to be able to do anytime you wanted to, with the rules being the same and the tires. And so Cars Tour, our Cars Tour series has started that journey. And I guess we're in the third year of that, and it's gone pretty well. So hopefully we can keep it rolling. But Doug Hobbs and Evergreen Speedway were the first ones to jump on board, and we're glad to be coming back.
Saturday it is, man. Good luck out there. Kevin, thank you so much for stopping by.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you too. Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Canada man robs two BC banks and then uses a scooter to get away. Meanwhile, because of a pair of dropped sunglasses, one California man has one hell of a day. Four arrested after stealing goods from donation bins. Falling asleep in a pool in Arizona, that's where the fun ends. And waking up to a huntsman spider and a large python in your bed, that is no way to live.
No.
And it's time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the head. headlines. Here's my cop.
All right, our top story. We head over to California where the sunglasses are really, really, really nice, apparently. A man was out of the local campground when he felt the familiar call of nature and excused himself to the facilities. But as many of us have done in the past, he had a little accident while he was underway, dropping his sunglasses into the toilet. That's fun. What's worse is that this isn't a facility with plumbing down there, so it works more like a honey bucket, with the toilet actually being sort of an access portal to a nasty tank of byproduct below.
Yes, byproduct.
Yeah, the old Kaibos of the scouting days there, Miles. But that didn't stop our man, no. He attempted to retrieve his sunglasses from the stinky prison, and he did manage to get his hands on his glasses. Only after he fell into the tank himself, getting stuck within its confines.
Jesus. How many stories like this have we had last week?
I don't know what is happening.
Rescue teams arrived and were able to free him after about 15 minutes. Due to his prolonged exposure to the filth, he was put through a decontamination process and should be fine. There was one time we ever fished anything out of the Kaibos when I was in Scouts. You know, because sunglasses were lost in there.
Sure.
Somebody at some point had thrown a bottle of something, like a bottle of root beer or something like that, down there. We used a rake to pull it back up.
Why?
Because
sometimes you just got to let it go, man.
Because we were told to.
Yeah, no. Oh. They're like, look, dude, it's gone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Or just because you're teenagers and root beer is important.
No, dude, that was not. It was empty is the thing. It was trash. They were like, you got to have that down there. You guys got to figure out how to get that out of there. It's like, okay. We almost considered putting one of the smaller guys on, you know, grabbing him by his ankles and putting him down there. But yeah. that was vetoed. In other news, we go to Pennsylvania where the thieves go low. Officers received information that led them to a home that they believed housed several suspects in a major theft operation. Upon their arrival, they busted the home and were able to find several containers of goods totaling upwards of $10,000 in stolen value. All kept nice and safe inside rescue mission donation bins.
Dang.
Several of the bins had gone missing around the town, leading officers to put a tracking device in one of them, waiting for it to get stolen, which it was. The four men that were found occupying the home were arrested and charged with various offenses.
I mean, damn, man. Come on.
Right? What are we doing?
I know.
What are we doing? In what may be, honestly, one of my worst nightmares, we go to Arizona, where the elderly need to be supervised. An 82-year-old woman went to her local community pool to enjoy a day of sunshine by the water and found herself relaxing on a lounge chair next to the pool, as many are wont to do. Unfortunately, as folks at that age bracket are known to do, the woman fell asleep on the chair in direct sunlight with metal armrests on that lounger chair. After an hour under the blistering sun, our patrons, other patrons were finally concerned enough to act, realizing that her sleep had turned into ill unconsciousness, also suffering blisters on her body as a result of the prolonged time in the sun and on the metal surface of the chair. They put wet blankets and towels on her and dragged her into the shade as they called medical crews to the scene. She was taken to the hospital, and while she is in recovery, her blisters turned into third-degree burns.
Jeez.
That require skin grafts to mend. She is due for surgery here in the near future. 82 years old and you burn the living daylights.
You know, but that's why people retire to Arizona and Florida.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, the good news is when you're that old, you got a lot of extra skin. Just take it under your arm there. Yes, that flabby chicken wing that grandma always had. I mean, it's pretty easy.
It's awful.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I had third-degree burns once from a sunburn. It was awful.
Oh, my God. But just in case those stories left a bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
We go to Fresno, California, where a life was saved thanks to a little common sense. Police say a 19-year-old was driving down the road when he suddenly lost control of his vehicle, veering off the road toward an embankment. The car crashed on the other side of said embankment and began rolling several times end over end, eventually coming to a stop and leaving the car a mangled mess. Miraculously, the young driver emerged from the vehicle, having suffered little to no injury whatsoever. Authorities say that his good condition was all because he wore his seatbelt.
Amazing.
The story was shared on social media with photos of the wreck, and he did. He walked out under his own power. He was totally fine. You know, he'll be scratched up a little bit, but honestly, he was totally fine.
Wear your seatbelt.
Wear your doggone seatbelt. On a more personal note, a friend of mine up in Snohomish County is working with the local Boys and Girls Club to put on a benefit golf tournament. It's going to go down on July the 9th at Glen Eagle Golf Course and will benefit all 29 clubs in the area, supporting 27,000 kids. If you'd like to look into get signed up, I would direct you to bgcsc.org, Boys and Girls Club of Snohomish County.org. Just giving her a shout real quick. She's a good friend of mine. She's running a really cool tournament up there.
She's doing some good.
And it's benefiting some kids in the process. So go and check that out. Men's Room Sports, you got World Cup coverage on Fox and FS1 all weekend long. There's baseball on MLB Network and the NHL Draft just taking place over on NHL Network this weekend. The Mariners are also in Cleveland to play 3 against the Guardians over the weekend. Those games will be on Mariners TV. As far as your weather, Get ready for clouds, boys. We'll have moving cloud cover with just a couple bouts of rain and sunshine this weekend. Wind temperatures ranging in from the high 60s to the mid 50s all weekend long.
Yeah.
That's it for headlines with that. Mike Hawk is out.
Enjoy some Men's Room IPA. Pick up our beer brats over the weekend. Yeah. Maybe some roasted red salsa from San Juan Salsa Company and enjoy.
Yes, indeed. In the meantime, we be all about this bitch. So until Monday, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.